You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 25th day of March 2024. And tonight, we got Killing 'Em with Kenny.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. There you go. And we've got way out yonder the legend, the Missouri man, none other than the parson, Joe Larson.
The infamous one. Yes, here, ready to go to work.
Yep. Then, of course, you got me, their humble hero. And so we got a lot to do. We got to get it done. You ready, Joe?
Yeah, all we got to do is condense about 4 hours of material into less than two.
We can do it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's start. The title of the message was...
Hosanna.
Hosanna. And Hosanna means...
Save us now.
Now. All righty. Let's start in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. Let's take it a couple of verses at a time, okay?
Okay. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loosen them, and bring them unto me.
All right, now.
Should I go one more?
No, let's... go ahead.
And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them.
Okay, now, this is mentioned, this colt is mentioned three times. It's mentioned here in Matthew, Mark 11, 2, and Luke 19, 30, I remember. Okay, now, there's a difference, though. In the three places, the only... There's something different in this one that is not mentioned in the other two. So read verse 2 again.
Saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me.
All right. Do you know what's different between this verse and the other two, Mark 11 and Luke 19?
Bring both of them to Jesus.
Well, actually, yeah, you're referring to the ass is not mentioned. The ass is not mentioned. Only the colt is mentioned in the other two verses. Okay,
right. So then you can't bring two of them if it's not mentioned, right?
No, you can't. Now, Jesus, now as we go through this, you're going to hear Christ fulfill about 7 or 8 prophecies going to be fulfilled as we go through this study. Now, there's over 1,800 prophecies in Scripture, 580 in the New Testament, over 1,200 in the Old Testament. And we're going to see Christ fulfilling just a huge number of this as he goes through the Gospels. But jump over to Zechariah chapter 9 and read verse 9.
All right. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass.
Okay, so now, here, Christ fulfilled that as he came in, that prophecy. Now, what is different? I mean, what Christ was doing, that prophecy, did kings usually ride on a colt, or, on a colt?
Well, they rode an ass if they were coming for peace, and if they were going to war, they rode a white horse.
Okay.
And so the colt coming on the colt symbolized the king was coming in peace.
All righty. You're right. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto the meek in the city upon an ass, and a colt, and the foal of an ass. And so here now, he fulfilled that prophecy, and the disciples went out and did as Jesus commanded, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them and their clothes on them. And now go ahead and read verses all the way through 7 through 11.
Okay. And brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the path. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Stop there.
Yeah, no. Go to read all the way through.
Go to 11.
Yeah, 11. Mm-hmm.
And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee.
All right, now, here. What did Jesus do? When he did that, when he came in riding, and the people were saying Hosanna to him, he was making a proclamation. He was proclaiming something. What was he proclaiming?
He was proclaiming himself to be king, because when they cried Hosanna, and he Messiah, Savior, Hosanna means save us now. So by what he was writing and coming in triumphal, he was coming in as the Savior, the King and the Savior.
Why did they refer to him? Several places in Scripture, people refer to, even the Pharisees referred to Jesus and sometimes as Son of David. Why do you think that happened?
His lineage was that of the house of David, which was foretold in the Old Testament that he would be, of the line of David.
Well, they knew that because his stepfather Joseph and his mother Mary both
were of the house of David. Yes.
Right, and so they now what did that mean? That meant that Jesus was he was the heir of the throne,
the heir to the throne, the king.
Right.
I want to back up on something because I've heard so many pastors preaching, and they talk about how Jesus was riding on this colt that had never been broken, and yet in here they talk about the ass and the colt and loose them, and they set the garments on them and placed him thereon. And it doesn't really say here in Matthew whether he's riding on the ass or on the foal.
No, it doesn't, but the fact that over in Mark 11 and Luke 19 that only refers to as the colt.
Colt, right. Yeah. So the mother, the ass is there.
Yeah.
With him, but he's on the colt. That's what most people don't understand. There were two animals there, but he was only riding on the colt.
Right. You wouldn't think so, would you? You would think he'd be riding on...
Well, the one, I think, just he did it to show because an unbroken... I've raised some jennies, and I've had mules and jackass, and they can be horribly stubborn, and an unbroken jackass is one ornery creature.
Well,
the critter.
Well,
and he had to have had complete control over this unbroken animal, or there would have been chaos.
Yeah, they could be
kicking and braying,
yeah.
And yet that's not what the story tells us happened.
Right. You know, a lot of people don't know this. In fact, I asked a group of people. A male ass is referred to as a jackass.
Right.
Okay. And I asked a group of people, what do they call a female ass? And not one. Yeah, I know that, and you know that, but. Now, one of the people knew that I asked. And,
oh, you're kidding.
No.
I guess I'm a country boy. We, you know, Jacks and Jennies is just common vernacular.
Yeah. And, well, but now one thing here, okay, they refer to a male moose as a bull moose. What do they refer to the female moose?
A cow.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Very few people know that, okay? And so... Let's pick it up. See, now you folks, you're learning a lot. You're learning more about jackasses and moose than you might
really
want to know.
To know, yes.
Yeah, all right. So let's pick it up and do verse by verse in verse 12.
And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves.
Now, this was the second time he had done this. Okay.
Right.
Now, when was the first time he'd done it?
John 2:13 somewhere.
Right at the beginning of his ministry.
Right.
So here, he's doing it at the beginning of his ministry, and he's doing it at the end of his ministry. He's getting close to the end now.
Yep. And the other thing I find interesting is people don't realize what that took. Those tables were stone tables. They weren't like card tables set up. These were heavy, big tables that were there permanently, right?
Yep.
They didn't move them in and out daily or anything. They were big, heavy tables. And to come and start heaving big, heavy tables over, he was a little unhappy and was a very powerful man. I mean, a carpenter worked with his hands and his body, and you know, that took some strength and some anger to start throwing over all those tables.
Absolutely. And now here, read verse 13.
And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.
Now he was quoting from Isaiah 56.
Isaiah the prophet, yeah.
56:7 and one other, and that was Jeremiah 7:11. And so he was quoting from both Isaiah and Jeremiah. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed him. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying into the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. They were indignant. And so... here, go ahead and read verses 16 and 17.
And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there.
Now, here's an interesting thing, because... he quoted to them Psalm 8:2, and here, that was about, and it was referring to mistreating the children. And here, how did that apply to what he was saying? He was, first of all, he was refuting the Pharisees, but how, Because they were...
He was saying, out of the mouth of these unlearned people,
yeah.
And, you know, the sucklings are the babies, but the babes, he just called them, he was referring to them as unlearned people. They could see the truth, but the Pharisees couldn't, or at least denied it.
Yeah. And so, here now, the Pharisees were angry because he was accepting the praise of the people. And actually, it was the worship, and they were very, very angry. They to them, that was near blasphemy. Did they not have Isaiah 53? Did they not have those writings of and the teachings back then?
Oh, they had them all, but the key was right there. The blind and the lame came, and he healed them. He's doing miracles in their temple, their property, their job. And all of a sudden, it's horribly obvious what a total threat he is. Jesus didn't need any of them, and none of them could heal the blind, the lame, the sick. This man was threatening their very existence and reason for living and their wealth, their status.
Absolutely. Let's turn over to Matthew 22. And in Matthew 22... let's read verses 41 through 46.
All right, 41. One more page. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." And he saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions.
Well, Jesus here quoted Psalm 110, Psalm, verse 1. Now, when he's quoting these things, he's quoting King David, but where did David get it? Because he's quoting David, but from where did David get his information?
From the Holy Spirit.
Okay. And so here now, from that time on, it says, "And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst he any man from that day ask him questions." Now, every time they came to him to have a battle of wits, they came unprepared, didn't they?
Well, Jesus should have told them, "Don't engage in a battle of wits with unarmed people."
So, how did the Lord Jesus answer them? Quite often, he answered their questions with a question.
Right, because he posed them something they could not possibly answer, but he knew the answer because he had written all the scripture.
So now,
or he had given it all.
When he had, when they had come to him, you had the combination of the Herodians and the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, which were normally they were at odds with each other. I mean, the Herodians were the legislators; they were the half-breed Jews under Herod. And, of course, the Pharisees were the judicial. And normally they were in competition from robbing from the people, okay? And so here now, but they came, they had a common cause because the Lord Jesus posed a threat to both of them, didn't he?
He was a threat to all of them.
Because he was coming and he was going to expose them, and he did. He was exposing their corruption now. So what happened when they came and they said, "Look, let's put him in a position where he cannot give a right answer"? When they brought and they asked him about the tithing to Caesar. Now they asked him if because they knew if when they said, first of all, they said, "We know that you are an honorable and a very truthful man."
Yeah, set up. Right. So anything you say wrong is a lie because they thought they had him boxed in.
Right. So when they said to him, "Should we tithe to Caesar or not?" Now, who did Caesar proclaim that he was?
King.
He proclaimed he was God.
God, I'm sorry, yeah.
What's the first commandment?
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
So what if you were tithing to him?
You were disobeying God.
Right. And that was, you were violating the first commandment, right?
Right.
So under that, then the Herodians would have, they could have the permission. If they got the permission, they could stone the Lord Jesus. That was their way of executing him for blasphemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, on the other side of that, if he was to say, no, do not tithe to Caesar, then Caesar would get him for insurrection, right?
Right, and they would turn him over to the Romans for insurrection.
So when he said...
And the crime was death was the punishment for insurrection.
Now, who were these people? The Pharisees were the judiciary, and the Herodians were the legislators, so they were the lawmakers. So when they came to him, Jesus asked him to show me a coin, and he did. Now he said, whose subscription is on that coin? Now remember, he's talking to the lawmakers, and he's saying, according to the law, is what the point is there. Now, whose subscription image was on that coin?
Well, Caesar's, of course.
So when God gave us the divine institution of human government, he gave, in verses 1 through 4, he gave mankind dominion over the environment. Who did he give dominion of man?
To himself.
So
only
the,
to himself.
The image of God, right?
Right.
Now, the Bible says, the earth and the fullness thereof, the earth and the fullness thereof belong to God.
That okay. means the whole kit and caboodle.
Is Caesar on the earth?
Yep, he sure is.
Okay, so now, here, what about...
to God.
what about you and I? The scripture says to... referring to Christians that, what, we are not, you are not your own. We belong to the Lord, right?
To him, right. We're bought and paid, well, you and I are bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb.
Okay, so now here, when you have Caesar, then Caesar is the image he's made. He's a man, and a man was made in the image of God. And so man belongs to God, does he not?
Yes, he does.
So he was telling them, according to the law, render therefore to Caesar, which belongs to Caesar, and to God, which belongs to God. But according to the law, the earth and the fullness and everything in it belong to God. And that doesn't leave a whole lot for Caesar, huh?
Doesn't leave much at all.
Okay, so now, the definition of actually owning something is... not just having use of something, but I mean actually owning, is to be able to take it with you when you leave this world.
Huh?
So what
That's
can we
take? We don't own anything because we don't take anything with us.
All right. Well, you're a smart guy. We'll be right back after this.
Over 100 people were murdered in Russia on Friday, including women and children. 11 terrorists were captured by Russian authorities as they attempted to cross the border into Ukraine. They are being interrogated, and all roads lead to the U.S. State Department, who have been directing Ukrainian forces since their 2014 coup. The attack occurred on March 22nd, or 322. 322 is the mysterious number used by Yale's infamous Skull and Bone Society. The official story is that 322 symbolizes the year 322 BC to memorialize the event seen as the turning point which transformed Athens from a democracy to a plutocracy. A plutocracy is a society that is ruled by no other political philosophy other than the financial elite being in control of the people's destiny. The Skull and Bones is a grooming academy for the CIA, such as former director of the CIA, George Bush, and 322 is their calling card. During the Tucker Carlson interview, President Putin was clearly speaking to the CIA. The CIA responded in a New York Times article admitting that they are using Ukraine as a proxy to wage war against Russia. Weeks before the attack, Victoria Nuland repeatedly boasted that Putin was in for a nasty surprise.
Mr. Putin's going to get some nice surprises on the battlefield, and that Ukraine will make some very strong success this year.
This supplemental funding will ensure Putin faces some nasty surprises on the battlefield this year.
On March 7th, the U.S. Embassy issued a warning about the threat of terrorist attacks in Moscow, specifying concerts. The British Embassy in Moscow mirrored this warning. Days before the attack, Barack Obama paid an unexpected visit to the British Prime Minister at 10 Downing Street.
President Obama, are you worried that Putin will rule forever? President Obama, why should we care about democracy in Russia?
Do you have a few moments?
Will you speak to us? Come and have a chat with us for a minute.
How did it go? What did you talk about?
Within hours of the attack, and without any evidence, the U.S. government blames the attack on the Islamic State and says that Ukraine is not involved. The very next day, while Russians were grieving, CIA mouthpiece The Washington Post gloated how the U.S. had prior knowledge of the attack and people still died. It has been noted that the terrorists were either professional assassins or trained by Western forces, for they were demonstrating NATO training methods, such as shooting in small bursts, trigger control, and proper mag reloads. For anyone with eyes to see, this is the modus operandi of the West. Al-Qaeda was famously created by Western intelligence agencies to fight the Russians in Afghanistan, and has been cultivated by the U.S. government and used as a catalyst for illegal wars and tyrannical laws against U.S. citizens. Ukraine's spy chief said 3 months ago, expect more attacks deep inside of Russia.
I'm very glad to see this. Yeah. That's my reaction.
That's your reaction. You're happy to see it.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be more?
I think so.
Inside Russia? Deep inside Russia?
Deeper and deeper.
Dmitry Medvedev said that everyone is asking him what to do. He answered that those who were caught need to be killed, but it's much more important to kill everyone involved, everyone who paid, who sympathized, and who helped. Kill them all. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Alrighty, we're back. And you know what? See, what they're doing there is what they're doing here. You know, Joe, that the Ukrainians and Russians were one people before. I mean, you still have a whole lot of Russians have relatives in Ukraine, and a whole lot of Ukrainians have relatives in Russia.
Right, and a lot of the eastern part of Ukraine is really mostly Russian.
I know.
That's why the Russians didn't have any trouble taking it, because most of the people wanted to go back to Russia.
And so the evil empire is now here. This is it, under the communism. Even as Putin said, if you want to see real communism, you have it now in America. And we saw it. It came in here under Barack Hussein Obama. He was the one that using, and he was being led all the way by the nose by the CIA, wasn't he?
Pretty much. There, the CIA has been very anti-American, let me tell you.
Well, they have, because Kennedy understood that. He wanted to get rid of them. Instead, they got rid of him. President Reagan wanted to get rid of, eliminate, defund the CIA, and they almost got rid of him. And now President Trump wants to defund the CIA. And so,
which is a frightening thing. Well, the left is trying to get rid of Trump, but the CIA is not going to be helping him anytime soon.
Right. They've become virtually an entity within themselves, and again, a very, very corrupt agency, aren't they?
And corrupt and powerful. Knowledge is power, and they have knowledge of things that most parts of government don't have. They have access to people, things, spyware. We have very little knowledge of how powerful they are.
Well, the only way that Trump's going to be able to dismantle them if he gets back in office is if he has full control of the military.
You'd have to have that, and he'll have to put some people in that aren't afraid to go in and start cleaning house.
Well, look, those people that head up the CIA, I saw they really went after Christopher Wray again. I mean, you know, here they've caught Christopher Wray. I mean, as smooth as he is, he's been caught lying under oath, lying under oath, lying. The only one that can beat him is Mariakis. I don't think Mariakis can tell the truth. You know, I don't think he can. He hasn't told the truth in so long.
He could if you ask a question, but anything that he would answer truthfully would have to go against everything that Obama and Biden want him to do. So,
I mean, now there has been large amounts of money that have gone to Mariakis. And this is why he's allowing himself to get beat up out there, too. But he's lying under oath. If we actually ever get a real Justice Department, if we do get a real Justice Department, he's going away. He's going away.
He could be in jail for a long time, so they're having to make it worth his while. But I think everybody thought they could hold together, stop Trump, and he would never have anything to worry about. And I think that's why they're panicking that they have not been able to stop Trump, and Trump keeps touching at God's anointed. He keeps coming up holding his own against the whole deep state against him.
Yeah, and so, look.
And if it wasn't for God, even Trump couldn't do it, you know.
Yeah, well, that court there in New York, the only real crooks, and I mean corrupt crooks, is Ingram and Letitia James. Those are the two real crooks. Everybody knows it. It's not a secret in that courtroom. And what they reap, they're going to sow. Or what they sow, they're going to reap. Okay? It's going to come back on them. Letitia James is known, to be completely corrupt. And that Judge Ingram, the very same for both of them. Got to tell you this, though, real close. This week, March 28th and 29th, the day of action here in Cleveland, right here in Cleveland, is going to be a day of action because Created Equal is going to have Mark Harrington, my old buddy, is going to be here and this week in Cleveland on the 28th and the 29th. And he's asking folks to come on out and join them. They're going to go to the bloody preterm abortion mill and a Planned Predators. Now, folks, you can come out. Listen. What a good time to come out and stand with these pro-lifers. There's going to be a lot of people out there. Make your stand. And so for more information, you can call to volunteer to help. Say, look, I'll come out there with you, Mike. Call 614-269-7808. 614-269-0808. Or 7808. One more time. 614-269-7808. Come on out and stand. I'm gonna try to make it out there myself. And so, anyhow,
wouldn't it be nice to see, you know, several thousand people out there?
It would be. Let's Ohio volunteers uncover massive irregularities in voter database. This is a guest post by Jack Gleason. And this is out of the Gateway Pundit here. This article appeared first in the American Thinker. And here, in the spring of 2021, volunteer investigators from Ohio acquired publicly available voter data for all 88 counties and started their analysis. And over the next year, the researchers, Joe, found hundreds of thousands of records in their state's voter rolls with irregular data for which they couldn't identify consistent explanations, no matter what they asked. In fact, in the late summer of 2022, they reached out to Marley Hornick, the co-leader of New York Citizens Audit, whose team had identified similar inaccuracies in the New York State data. And in 2023, Hornick and Harry Hauer an expert in cyber crime and election law, founded United Sovereign Americans and developed a legal strategy for securing and validity of the 2024 election based on federal civil rights laws and Supreme Court precedents, which established for the election officials. The ignorance of law is no excuse. Congress seeks to guard the election of members, Congress against any possible unfairness by compelling under pains and penalties everyone concerned in holding the election to strict and scrupulous observance of every duty devolved upon them while so engaged. So the evil intent consists in disobedience to the law in recoil, and so that's 127 U.S. 731-1888. Now, the National Voter Registration Act of 1993 requires election rolls to be accurate. The Ohio team had collected more than 1 million pieces of evidence of apparent violations of the law. Let me just stop here. And this is issue one here that we you know, here all across this country for every and the very first where they said yes, for every no, for every yes. Now the no was a pro-life in the first vote. Okay, going back to August 8th. Again, there was about 8 to 10 signs pro-life compared to the pro-death. Everybody understood this. They knew. And the whole state, look, something very sinister is happening here. And now, but anyhow, let me go on. And so he goes on and he says, now the National Voter Registration Act of 1993 requires election rolls to be accurate. The Ohio team had collected more than 1 million pieces of evidence of apparent violations of that law, called into serious question by the accuracy of Ohio's statewide voter roll database at the time of the 2022 general election and the subsequent certification. Now, the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution stipulates that only legally qualified voters may vote. The Ohio team uncovered evidence that thousands and thousands of voters in Ohio had apparently registered before they were even born, Joe.
Hey, that's a little fishy, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah. Hornick soon invited the Ohio researchers to join U.S. Sovereign Americans and shared more of their data investigation skills and litigation strategies. As a result, the Ohio team, in conjunction with USA, has been able to conduct a peer-reviewed audit of the state's voter rolls at the time of the 2022 Ohio election and has prepared a report that summarizes the issues they encountered. Listen to this, Joe. The day after certification in 2022, the Ohio State Voter Roll Database showed 58,209 resided in an apartment or in a mobile home lot, but had no unit number as required on their voter registration application to ensure proper delivery of mail, including the mail-in ballot material. So, all of those mail-in ballots, right, Joe? You know, there was they were improper. These were illegal votes.
Right.
Now, 4,000. Now, listen to this, Joe, because this is hard. This is something that's hard to do here. 4,143 of these voters. Now, listen. Were older than the older person alive in the U.S. today. Do you understand that? 4,100.
There were some that were also too young to have been able to register to vote.
Yeah, well, that's in the next one, okay. 6,348 had a date of birth that was different in 2022 than it was in 2020. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're very creative. These Democrats are very creative crooks.
253,486 voters registered on January 1st, Joe. Supposedly, they registered. Now, none of the offices are open on January 1st here, okay? That's a federal holiday. And none of the state offices, you're not going to register anywhere to vote on that day. Now, 84,221 voters registered on other federal holidays, and 201,693 voters registered on Sunday. Again, Joe, they're closed on Sunday. Nobody registers to vote on Sunday. Nobody. So all the times when Ohio boards of elections and state offices were closed, they were registering to vote.
People were registering to vote. That's a whole bunch of people, right? Quarter of a million.
Right.
Quarter of a million people.
Yeah. 120,000, Joe, and 94 had registration dates in the 2022 state voter file that were earlier than the registration date in the 2020 file. So 59,025 people were listed as registering to vote before they were born. That's hard. That's very hard. Okay, now, 243,583 had state identification numbers that had changed since 2020, even though federal laws require each voter to issue a unique state identifier number. 34,233 had 2 to 5 different registration records. You hear that? 34,223 with different state identification numbers, making it impossible for them to vote more than once.
Yeah, 2 to 5. Some of them could have voted 5 times.
Yeah, but I'm just going to cut to the quick on this. Show you how corrupt this was here. Now that they're staying here, now that the state of Ohio Attorney General, he's got to look into this now, okay? Now check this out, Joe. On December 10th, 11 days after Ohio canvass officially concluded, and one day after the election was certified as accurate and compliant, the number of votes reportedly cast, listen to this, was 4,201,368. And the number of records identified by the state's official list of legally registered voters were 3,039,289. So you have 1 million people, a million more people voting than you have registered voters. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it?
And somebody certified the election, and I wondered, did they have that information when they certified?
I doubt it. Well, you know, come to think of it, actually they did. And so,
I would think that they would, yeah. Because if they'd counted the votes, they knew how many votes were counted. And they should have had the roll, the voter registration roll, so, you know, should have been something that somebody could have compared easily.
Well, you just had to show you the woman that was formerly was just taken down as the head of the Republican Party. Having senior moment, you know who I'm talking about. She was just voted out. Anyhow, now she's working for NBC.
Oh, you're talking. Oh yeah. Her name's right on the tip of my tongue, and I just
mine.
Can't.
Mine too. It's but anyhow, she's already gone. She's working for Rona McDaniel. Rona McDaniel.
Yeah. Well, she may not be. They were so unhappy with her, even at the liberals, that she might lose the gig, even though that was her big thing. She was going to go be one of their people. Even she's got them mad at the liberals mad at her, so she may have nothing.
She may end up going along with I'm having a hard time. The rhino, the woman from who turned on us, the traitorous woman on the January 6th.
Liz Cheney.
Liz Cheney. It's a good
Cheney.
Thing. Right. So
she's kind of persona non grata now, isn't she?
Yeah. And she was thinking of running for president.
Yeah, she, I don't think that's going to go far.
She lost in a landslide. I mean, in a real landslide in her own state.
State.
Yep.
Well, one of, you know, it's amazing these liberals just so enamored with themselves that she thought she was popular enough to even consider running for president. And then we had this huge, like you said, defeat at her own state. And even then, she still sees her self-importance, her self-aggrandizement. These people must have the biggest egos in the world, you know?
You're telling me. FDA admits COVID vaccines lead to significantly elevated risks of seizures in toddlers. Toddlers and young children are at significantly elevated risk of seizures after taking the COVID-19 vaccine. Yeah, it's killed a bunch of them. According to the latest research by the Food and Drug Administration. That's all right. They'll encourage you to go out. I mean, this is where we're at now in this country. Researchers found that children experienced a 2.5-fold increase in febrile seizures within 24 hours of receiving the Moderna shot compared to the same children between 8 to 63 days post-vaccination. There were 88 febrile seizures after the Pfizer vaccination among the study group. Let me tell you, it does a whole lot worse than that, okay? And so, but as long as there's money to be made, who cares if they kill the children, right?
Well, they're trying to kill the children. That's the thing. Everybody on the left, they don't care that we have young people dying from fentanyl. They keep pushing abortions. They keep pushing all these sex change surgeries that a lot of these cause these children to be deformed, sterile, commit suicide. So you would think that the left just hates children. Everything they do seems to be terribly bad.
You're telling me. Trump's astronomical bond slashed by the appeals court. Now, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, virtually, if they get, when he gets this court into a higher court, another, they're going to have to overturn it because of the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution. It tells you, well, you can't lay outrageous amounts of fines on people, and that's what they did, okay? So now they've slashed this down, the amount, it went from what, was it $450 million to $175
million? Yeah, to $175, which he can come up with either in cash or he can probably get a bond for. But he said there's not going to be any problem getting that. It's amazing how they...
Well, so here's the problem. Okay, again, like I said, the only crooks in that court are Ingram and Letitia James. Now, which of the banks had a problem with their dealing with Trump, with the transaction with the Trumps?
None of the banks had trouble with Trump.
In fact, they even went to the court and says, "Look, we want to continue doing business with him."
Yeah.
He did. Nobody got cheated, right? And so again, what they've done is they violated Trump's First Amendment rights. They've tried to put gag orders on him, and here, you know, this man. These people need to be in jail. Letitia James is a criminal. She needs to be in jail. And this Ingram, this guy he's some kind of a strange, weird individual, okay? But anyhow, so Trump's astronomical bond slashed by appeals, a bond, you know, is Trump just kind of keeps beating him, doesn't he?
He is, he's covered. I think the Holy Spirit is protecting him. It's the only reason he's still walking, talking, and winning. It has to be. But earlier you were talking about the children. There's a big story out of Colorado. If I had children in Colorado, I think I'd move staff at the taxpayer-funded Colorado virus lab were bitten by COVID-infected hamsters and disease-ridden bats in shocking spate of accidents. Yeah, they had rabid cat scratches, spilled viral samples, and nearly every incident the public was not made aware of the potential health risks. In fact, they're trying to build a new $12 million lab there. We talked about this story before, how Colorado, their lab handles the world's deadliest viruses. But what they haven't been telling, the documents now show there were 50 incidents involving safety lapses there between 2020 and 2023. Like I said, there was one where they had blood splashed in the face with blood from mice with TB, scratched by rabies-infected cats, COVID-infected hamster bites. I'm going down this list of weird things that they had. And they talked about a disturbing lack of transparency. They even found there were some dead animals outside. Somebody had them in a bag, dropped them somewhere outside this lab that should have been saved. And then they had a bat infected with MERS COVID bit a researcher putting it back in the cage. And it goes on and on and on. And now they want us to fork over $12 million to put a new, bigger and more dangerous lab. And but anyway, it was the White Coat Waste Project that got this information. They got the documents, the minute meetings, emails, internal reports, and they got it all through the FOIA, the FOIA requests. This White Waste Project, thank you, thank you, thank you. They are bringing to truth what the government, again, trying to hide. This has been hidden, hidden, hidden. And it was only because of that one public records request that these dozens of pretty critical risks were made public. So we have to thank a bunch of people. Think about this. The university has about 33,000 people, and the city, Fort Collins, surrounding the university, nearly 170,000 people. And in every incident, the public was never notified or made aware. And this, remember, this is kind of a Fauci-run lab. There's one in Montana, where scientists were infecting bats with COVID-like viruses shipped in from Wuhan in 2018. Wasn't that before the pandemic?
Yeah, it was, but you know what, Joe?
So here we have now.
We're coming up to a hard break. Oh, so yeah. When we come, we'll be back. When we come back, we're going to take a look at Senator John Kennedy. It's an interesting
interview, yes.
Yeah, because, yeah, so. We'll be back after this with more Don't Go Away. A lot more to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.